Welcome everyone to this morning's service. A warm welcome as well to those who will be listening to the recording of the service, and we hope you continue to feel part of Emmanuel's family. I will be the reader this morning. There are no additional notices apart from those in the weekly newsletter. So I will now light the Christ candle and we'll have a moment of reflection before we begin worship.
Good morning, all of you. Welcome to our service this morning. I would just like to share with you the information that churches are exempt for worship from the six only rule. So we will be continuing services normally on Sundays. That was made quite clear after the second announcement of it, when the Archbishop of Canterbury pointed out to the government that worship was not a social event, it was an act of praise to God, and so then that was clarified. So feel safe, and we will be resuming next week service as we do or have been for, I think Anne Farrell said, this is our sixth week in a row of services. And as we do say in the weekly news, we are very pleased to be able to tell you all that we've had no notice of anybody coming to worship who has become unhealthy or in need of any help. So you're a healthy bunch of people. Keep it that way in as much as you possibly can. So if you do go back to infant school, behave, wash your hands and stay in the bubble. We gather on this beautiful day, thanking God for his presence with us. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Blessings to you and to God's people gathered wherever they are to honor and praise his name and to share with each other God's love. Amen. Today, the singing will be led by Christ Church Choir. So I'm trying to spread out and give you examples of different forms. And today, we'll be singing For the Beauty of the Earth. I wasn't expecting such a beautiful day, but it's worked out fine. So at least it's not pouring with rain while you sing or follow the words of For the Beauty of the Earth, For the Beauty of the Skies. We will now follow that on our new sheet as we hear the singing.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory.
you know, and you have probably read in the this week's newsletter, when we light the candle for things past, they don't always go into the far past. Some of them are very close to us. This week was the service of thanksgiving for the life of Stan, and that was a joyful occasion in the nicest way, but also sharing the news that Lynn Hine lost her husband this week after, I think it's 5 years, she said, he was in the home. And it was the same home in which Lynn's mother had been before. So she was very much part of the staff, as she herself said. But each week, for reasons known and unknown, we all experience things that we would like to be able to leave into somebody's hands. And it is an act of faith where we say, dear God, take hold of this. So for your own things that weigh, that you would like to leave behind, and for those we know who are struggling, we light the candle. Let us share together a time of prayer that we will end softly saying the Lord's Prayer together. Truly, for the beauty of the earth and the skies and the sun that shines and the birds that sing, for the changing of the colors as they approach the autumn, behind and above and beside and in front of all this, you, dear God, not only the God creator, but the God sustainer. We thank you that you have called us your children and that we can call you our Father. We thank you that through this relationship we remind ourselves and are reminded that we are connected, each of us, with your people everywhere. We thank you for the diversity of your creation, for the gifts that you have distributed so generously. We thank you for the lives of those who have made an impact on our lives. We thank you for all that brings us closer to you and to each other, and closer to ourselves. Thank you that there is a way forward. That's not always clear, but again, the gift by which we can recognize new ways, new thoughts, new possibilities. We come to you and praise your name. Forgive us. Forgive us for not taking seriously the gifts we have received. Forgive us for selfish thoughts, selfish words, selfish actions. Forgive us for that which upsets the lives of others and our own lives. Forgive us, loving and caring God, for taking for granted all the beauty of your creation. Forgive us, O Lord, when we choose our ways over your ways, when we ascribe more importance to our words than your words. Forgive us for that which is heavy on our heart, which we now bring to you. In your grace, in your mercy, take from our lives all that is a stumbling block to the development of fullness of life for all. Forgive us and restore us to the fullness of relationships. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Compared to the previous weeks where the readings have been rather long, this week is a very short reading, but a punchy reading. So Tom will lead us in the reading.
So as you will see on the service sheet, the reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we stand for a second or two? Ponder these words and then join in the grace together. be it 77 times or 70 times 7. Help us, Lord. Shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, based on the reading from Romans, we talked about love of neighbor and the wide scope of neighborhood. Today it's about forgiveness. And I find that one much more difficult than the command of love. Have you ever lived situations where you find it really hard to forgive? And as some people have said, probably the most difficult of tasks is that of forgiving ourselves. We tend to bash ourselves up much more than what other people would do. I want to start with a short history lesson, and I don't want to be pedantic, but it explains so much of why I find this very difficult to approach, the reading for today. During the 20th century, the country in which I was born, Argentina, suffered 6 coups. 1930, 1943, 1955, 1962, 1966, and 1976. Of which I lived under 4. Okay, the first one, I was 9 months old. But that explains why I have dual nationality. Because of what was happening, my parents took advantage of the possibilities, and I was given a British birth certificate just in case. The second one, 62, I was 7, and I vaguely remember soldiers in the streets. But at 7, it's more an adventure than a coup. 66, I'm old enough to remember who it was and why it was, and they overthrew probably one of the most honest presidents the Argentina had ever had. He was a doctor who died poorer than he'd ever been in his life, and that doesn't often happen. 76, I remember clearly. I remember clearly because, among other things, I was doing my national service when it happened. I was in uniform. Then I studied law for 2 years, which seemed rather a waste of time under a dictatorship. And then I did all my theological education under dictatorship. That included somebody burning the theological library of the college. The 1930 coup took place the 6th of September, which was last Sunday. The 1955, the year of my birth, that took place the 16th of September. That's next Wednesday. In all 53 years, since the first day of the first dictatorship to the last in 1983, the country was ruled 25 years, 14 dictators that call themselves president, of course, one every 1.7 years. The Methodist Church in Argentina and in Uruguay discovered the difference of words. The Methodist Church in Argentina has always had a bishop. Nothing ever happened to the bishop. A threat here or there. The Methodist Church in Uruguay had a president. You overthrow presidents like that. He had to leave the country. Because you can get rid of a president, but you don't touch a bishop. And I'm not being cynical, or I could be. It had an impact on the life of everybody. And the biggest impact in the long run was fear. The fear that led to people not wanting to get involved in anything just in case it happened again. You never knew. Nobody wanted to participate in political parties after democratic governments came in. Nobody wanted to get involved in anything. They were afraid. And that lasted long after the dictatorships had gone. This week, another terrible, violent moment in history, the 11th of September, and everybody thinks of 9/11. But to me, it's always the 11th of September of 1973, when General Pinochet overthrew Salvador Allende as president, democratically elected president of Chile. And the story could go on, and that's only two countries. Things happened which I wish for nobody. The last dictatorship particularly was very cruel. Coming home in my uniform at night, I was terrified, so finally asked to use civilian clothes because I was coming back at 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't want my Navy uniform of the Coast Guards to be a target. And you say, that's so silly. I was only doing my national service. It wasn't silly in those days. Then my theological education. And the day I graduated, the 3rd of December of 1983, exactly a week before the first democratically elected president of which I was able to vote, happened a week later. And the professor that spoke to us reminded us, you were educated in an island of democracy in the midst of dictatorship. You could read whatever you wanted to read. That's why they built the library down, he reminded us. There was a theological student who was kidnapped because she was fair, and they confused her with somebody else. She never appeared. It nearly broke relations with Germany because she happened to be the daughter of the highest bishop of the German Evangelical Church, Ernst Kirsemann. And I've got books in my library at home. But being educated about a God that liberated the people of Egypt, from Egypt, who spoke through Jesus, changed my vision of life, the way I understood God, and the way I read the Bible. So I admit that speaking last week about loving neighbor, even the difficult neighbor, has haunted me ever since last Sunday, because I said to myself, have I said things that I could not help the members of the congregation live through if they asked me for help? And then I get Peter asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive? And he says seven. Do you know why he says seven? Because the religious understanding of Peter's time was four is about just as much as you can go. So Peter wanted to exaggerate, as Peter always does. So if everybody says four, I'll say seven. And what does Jesus do? He messes it up, really messes it up. Probably you remember the Sunday school one, it was 70 times seven. I bet you not one of you sat through Sunday school without calculating what 70 times seven was. And until you get to 489, you were fine. It was the 490 onwards that was a complicated issue. 77, that low is it, but it's still a high number. In a dictatorship that murdered, tortured, disappeared, ripped kids from the womb of their mothers and handed them over, how do I forgive? And this is where I ask for help. How are certain things to be forgiven? And Peter asks the big question. And Jesus pushes it to the limit. And two things are possible. The offender is willing to apologize, or the offender is not willing or finds no reason to apologize. The dictators I'm talking about never thought they had done anything wrong, even opening the plains over the River Plate and throwing people alive into the River Plate to be eaten up by the fish, so there were no traces of their body. How can we forgive? Who can forgive? And the answer really is that only the victims are allowed to forgive. The offender can never forgive themselves. I can beat you up and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm forgiving myself. And you can look at me and say, you must be mad. You can't forgive yourself for that. I will choose if I want to forgive and when I can forgive, and I'm not ready to forgive yet. The offender can never forgive themselves. In that case, there is no healing and pain will remain. And within the faith community, it's not only a legal setup concept, there is also grace. Forgiveness always includes repentance, a commitment not to repeat the actions. Anything else is flippant. What happens when repentance is not there? Not one of the generals ever sought forgiveness. They were taken to trial and condemned, but they've always thought it was unfair, that they were doing what God called them to do to save the country. We do have to learn from cases where some sort of healing was needed and took place. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, called by Mandela, on the day he left jail after 27 years, he said, "I have to leave my bitterness here, because if I take it out of this place, it will destroy me." And he asked Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who then wrote a book, No Future Without Forgiveness. Truth and reconciliation. For reconciliation, they had to be truth. And the people who had committed the atrocities in South Africa had to say, "We did it." But it wasn't automatic. The pain, the suffering need time, a process of healing. For the humiliated, the exploited, the abused, it is important that the person that's caused all this stops doing it. If any of you followed the proms last night, the first version of Jerusalem, which the first verse was a very modern rendition, it was a world premiere written by a woman from the Caribbean, and I can't remember the island, and she dedicated her new version, because being from the Caribbean, to the victims of Grenfell. And that's why it was what it was. A bit strange, a bit difficult to follow. You could hear Perry in the background, but it wasn't him. And she said, "It has to make you feel uncomfortable." Then, towards the end of the proms, we got the traditional version. Pain takes time. Time to heal. And not everybody heals at the same time. Isn't that correct, Doctor? I mean, we all take a process of healing, and somebody's healing is quicker or slower than another's. How do you do it? It's not ticking a box. In this case, forgiveness is probably the only way of liberation. And that's why sometimes there is forgiveness without repentance, but that is the choice of the victim, not the victimizer. Confession without repentance is cheap. And one day we're going to have to explore, from a Christian's perspective, the understanding of restorative justice, which brings the two people together to look at each other's eyes and try and initiate a process of healing. But the truth is, sometimes there is no repentance. But there is forgiveness. It takes a long time, and without grace, that is impossible. That's when Jesus on the cross prays, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." But the truth is, they do know what crucifixion is. It wasn't the first time they were doing it. What they did not know is that he was the Messiah. And that changed the whole story. We are called to imitate Jesus, but we aren't Jesus. We aren't the Christ. And our own process sometimes takes a long, long time. True forgiveness is hard to give and hard to receive. Healing takes time. But forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness, sorry, is an exchange of pain and a liberation. And forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. It means remembering so that things don't happen again. And there you have the quote in the newsletter today. If we forget, we will repeat. I began today with a very personal account, and I'm sorry if it took too long, but it does explain my approach to it. And I can't truly be your minister if you don't know about that. And it explains why I see things in a particular way. But I'm going to end with a totally different story, a very moving one, that happened the 7th of December of 1970. You were all born then, weren't you? 1970? Fine. You all must have heard the name Willy Brandt, who was the Chancellor of West Germany. He was in Warsaw. It was the first time a German politician had visited Poland since the 1st of September of 1939. And that wasn't a courtesy visit in 1939. It was an invasion. He was there to sign the Warsaw Treaty. And at that official visit, he stood in front of the memorial of the Warsaw Ghetto, where so many had been enclosed and died of hunger and violently. They'd laid the wreath of flowers as officially. He bowed his head, and then he did something that shocked his cabinet but left the Polish people speechless. He knelt. To many in his cabinet, they felt that was humiliation. And for the wrong reasons, he said, "You're right, but you're taking it the wrong way." This is probably one of the most striking acts a politician has ever done. Knelt before those who his country had invaded many years before. He said it wasn't an outburst, but no words were needed. It reminded the world that repentance is possible, as is forgiveness. It may take time, and it's always hard, but healing is necessary. May grace help you in your struggles, of those acts that you may need help in finding to forgive. If you need forgiveness, may God's grace guide you on that direction. But in all this, we are God's children, and we will never be left alone. And the God we love, the God we care for, and the God that cares for us, is willing to walk that journey with us. And often, repentance means facing the consequences through a judicial system. And that is the only way it will bring peace. But God's grace is with us even in the difficult moments. But please today, don't ask me what that really means. Struggle with it, and we will struggle together, because this is probably not the first time, nor the last, we will be talking about it. But we need God's help to be able to build a better world. Amen. Today, when we look forward, beside the candle, I'm just going to put symbolically Desmond Tutu's book. Two scenes of the crucifixion, one a very modern one of a really broken Jesus, and the photograph of Willy Brandt kneeling. May they teach us what the way forward is about. Thank you. dedicate the offering, which includes the envelopes that we've been receiving and have received and will receive for the harvest appeal for Beirut. O Lord, what we give is part of who we are. Guide us so that our giving, our living, may reflect your love. Amen. Do you all have the newsletter? Do you all have a copy of the newsletter? If you do, you will have a long list for including in your prayers. If you don't have it handy, in the silence that follows, if you read it and remember, but add your own. I am not going to lead a prayer of intercession today. We will follow that list or bring to God our own thoughts. And the drawing at the end. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does change the future. O Lord, hear us in our prayers of intercession this morning, which we bring before you in this silence.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And because we have to travel forward, in joy, in hope, in sadness, in recovering, in healing, be thou my vision. We follow the hymn as it is printed.
Beyond else, but not to me, say.
like to stand for the blessing? We come as your children, we leave as your children. And on this journey of life, walk with us. May your grace give us what we need to fully live your promise. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with God's people now and always. Amen. And just before Shelley begins the music, if any of you feel that sometimes this sort of mask steams up your glasses, makes your nose water or whatever, and you want something like she's wearing, speak to Shelley after. This is just the frame of it that will hold it on your head. You can adapt it, and you can have another sort of screen. And go in peace, and try and celebrate life.